E.O. Wilson has spent a lifetime in the field of biology. Wilson's pioneering studies of ants led to new understanding about evolution and community survival. Now, at the age of 85, the two-time Pulitzer Prize winner is looking beyond science. Wilson's new book is called The Meaning of Human Existence, and I asked him why he chose such an audacious title.
And the answer is that they're the big questions. What are we? Where do we come from? Where are we going? These are the big questions of religion and philosophy, and they've been avoided and considered presumptuous even to ask unless you can let it slide into the cloud of the mysterium tremendum and make statements like these mysteries will be solved only, you know, by years more of reflection and scientific advance. That's not true at all. That we've learned primarily through science, but also through increasing linkages between science and humanities, to how to answer those questions. And I think in a way we now have answers for the first two. And we're in a position to be much more productive in question number three, where are we going?
In this beginning of the 21st century, science on an academic campus like the University of Washington, which is across the street from where we sit, and arts are very separate pursuits. There are liberal arts colleges across the country where they're brought together a little bit more, but there's a big emphasis in our society on the STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math. Why is it important to reunite the disciplines?
Well, I think it's important for the survival of humanity.
Wow.
Also, as I've argued, scientific knowledge is still doubling, as it has been for going on two centuries. But the rate at which science increases per capita is declining, and the individual research is becoming more and more expensive. It's rather like a gold mine. In the 17th and 18th and finally abundantly in the 19th century, making important scientific discoveries, single discoveries, having new thoughts and ideas of fundamental nature, say in biology, physics, and chemistry, well, like picking nuggets off the ground. But then as those got cleared away, then the mining got much deeper, more extensive, requiring more person power, and was a lot more expensive. And that's what's happening with science. And eventually, science will reach a level in which it does require an immense undertaking to continue the accumulation of knowledge.
I'm speaking with E.O. Wilson. He's written the second part of a planned trilogy. This book is called The Meaning of Human Existence. One of the things that I wonder when thinking about human creativity, both scientific and artistic, is that it's about asking questions, right? You pose a question, then you try to answer it. The avenue that you take to answer the question is different, obviously, but is it valid to think that a philosopher or a visual artist or a dramatist could pose a question that could provoke a response in a scientific lab?
Oh, yes, of course. It would have to do with the outer fringes, primarily, of creative thought and the subconscious thought and of dreams that people have in common and try to express in what turns out to be a near infinitude of ways. Mm-hmm. And these represent subjects that are immediately available to inquiry. And that's what we mean when we say the meaning of human existence.
One way to explain the meaning of human existence that you decry in this book and have written about previously is organized religion. I'm curious, given that we the humans and the many other species on this planet evolve for survival reasons in your mind, that we develop different traits in order for our species to procreate itself and continue, how has religion evolved and why does it persist?
I think it's important to, in my view, to recognize that there is actually two layers of religious thought that's very natural to the human mind. And one of them you could call transcendent. This is the big question, composed of the big questions of theology, and within theology, the yearnings of the individual mind for that which could mean the most to them in the meaning, their own meaning, and in their own survival. That includes, for example, is there a God? Is there a some force or intellect or process somewhat like the conscious human mind that made the laws of this particular universe, etc.? Is there a God? And also the transcendent question of what happens to us when we die. Do we have any afterlife and the like? The next level of religion is the one that causes all the trouble, and that's the one we call faith. And faith consists of the creation story, the particular creation story of one particular group. And the group is organized by unquestioning acceptance of the creation story. That is, where humans came from, how human beings relate to God or gods and so on, and also the history of supernatural events. We are intensely groupish. That is, we are intensely drawn like particles of iron to a magnet, always to group with other people, to form groups, and to identify our own selves and our own identity and our own meaning with the creation stories and, you know, the particular beliefs of the group. And there are hundreds of such faiths. There always have been around the world, each differ, and each considering, however gentle, however giving, superior in its belief to others. And that is the part of the foundation of the way humans evolved in the first place. Religious faiths are tribes, and they have hijacked religion. Part of the consequence of that, we have endless conflict around the world that's unnecessary.
E.O. Wilson is my guest. You talk about you can have a selfish individual, but a selfish individual within a group who doesn't have the group's well-being in mind will destroy that group. Talking about tribalism, talking about blind faith, and talking about what we see around the world, I can't help but wonder, is the natural outcome of the survival of the group war?
Of course it is. Of course, the consequence of this kind of behavior going all the way back beyond the Neolithic, probably into the Paleolithic, as soon as the human-sized brain of roughly 12 to 1,400 cubic centimeters of the chain, is that it pays to believe that the group you belong to and all of its beliefs is superior because this unites the group and allows it to prevail, not just in war, but also in invention, innovation, in the application of superior resource extraction, and then, of course, territory. This is Darwinism. Really, this is survival of certain forms of genes versus certain other.
But realistically, pursuing that, which if we take that all as a given, the end result at some point is the destruction of the planet.
When we got to the point where we had saturated the planet and where conquering tribes could no longer find unoccupied territory or territory occupied by aboriginals easily exterminated, then we found we had gotten into trouble because we have no more land to conquer. None of our ruling tribes have any more land to conquer. Keep your hands off of Ukraine, Mr. Putin. And now we're discovering that those lands we have occupied We've applied the best of our science and technology and efforts to, and we're using up the resources, natural resources there, and our population is continuing to explode. And we've got trouble, ladies and gentlemen, as a consequence of 3 to 2 million years ago, how we came into existence.
You set out on the career that you followed for, I believe you're in your ninth decade.
Is that 85.
85. When you were a boy, did you ever imagine that the trajectory of the biological career would lead you to what is essentially a philosophical question?
Never. I was raised a good Southern Baptist boy. I agree. I admit that I pretty well dropped all that when I was in college at the age of 18 and found a whole new reason for existing and more joy and being alive through the science I selected, which at that time was evolutionary biology and the study of biological diversity. So essentially, that's what I've continued as my own baseline interest up to the present time. But if you work on ants, as I do, it's inevitable that you would move in the direction that I have to some degree. And so it's pretty well natural that since I've been fortunate enough to live this long, to want to expand what is learned from the origin of advanced social behavior in animals to the human condition.
Harvard Professor Emeritus E.O. Wilson. Wilson's latest book, part of a planned trilogy, is called The Meaning of Human Existence.